Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
Here, and so is the hottest sale of the year at Easy Living Furniture. Absolutely everything reduced across sofa, dining, bedroom, mattress and accessories. The spectacular summer sale is now on at Easy Living Furniture. Find your local store online at easylivingfurniture.ie.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, Easy Living has it all.
Easy Living Furniture. Luxury furnishings, affordable luxury.
You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins. Welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Folks, how do the thoughts impact on the choices of food that you make? What is the root cause of problem eating? And how can we heal on the inside before healing on the outside? To answer some of these questions is qualified nutrition and health coach Adele Owens, aka the Whole Food Hero. Adele, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Carl. I'm delighted to be here.
It's great to have you on. What part of the world are you in?
Well, I have to state that I am from Donegal originally, but I'm based in County Down, so I get the best of both.
A beautiful part of the world up there, absolutely. Let's get cracking. It's going to be, I think, a really interesting episode for our listeners. Let's chat about the mindset shift that has to happen in terms of when you're making those changes to a healthy diet and improving your diet. What are the mindset shifts that you have to make when you're doing that?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. Okay, so I think maybe the best place to start with that is maybe to talk about how I, you know, work with this with the people that I work with.
Yeah, great.
So I use a blend of cognitive theory and performance mindset tools. And what I mean by that in a sort of a concise nutshell is we all of the behaviors, all of the things that we do, the results that we get that are showing up in our lives are a result of the thoughts that we are thinking. So every single thought that you think is setting up a vibration in your body and causing a result or a behavior. So if you think about that, and then if you think about the fact that actually you have the ability to change your thoughts, to completely master, in fact, your thoughts instead of being a slave to them, you then become the driver. You have the ability to, as Bob Proctor, my mentor, would have said, you know, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. So in terms of making behavior shifts, the first piece is that awareness piece, you know, so actually becoming aware that there's something you need to work on, first of all and foremost, and then putting things in place to help you shift that. So you need to really look at the cause, the triggers. And then as I sort of use in the workshops that I do, you know, the 3 Ds. So decide. Okay, so decide that you're going to change something. Okay, so what is it? What's your goal? And then put a date in your diary, in your calendar, that you're going to work towards. Now, you know, that's movable, you know, okay, you can be flexible with that, and then do. So the doing part is obviously taking small incremental actions every single day, Saturday and Sunday included, that pushes you forward and that gets you to where you want to be.
So, you know, I suppose that the key thing for that, for people listening in, is that when they're making decisions, i.e. to choose a certain food or choose to go for a walk or not to go for a walk, that's the end of a process. That what you're saying is that, you know, that begins with behavioral change, with working on everything else before the decision. That the decision is the last and the chain of things that happen. And when you're actually picking the chocolate bar, it's not the chocolate bar that you want. There's a reason that you're picking the chocolate bar. And what you're saying is you have to get to that reason and do that kind of deep dive into finding out why.
Exactly. And, you know, that can actually be really difficult for some people to actually reach that level of awareness. And that's why I think, you know, even podcasts with yourself or, you know, going to nutritional workshops or listening to speakers or people that really empower you and maybe have gone on this journey before, is actually very, very helpful and can help you get a little pinch of that awareness. But also, you have to do the intrinsic work as well. You need to ask yourself the fundamental questions, you know, but even before you get to the questions, some people don't even know the questions to ask, you know, so it's like, you just need to start looking out for the little signs that are showing up in your life. For example, if you're very stressed in work, you have low energy, your eating pattern is all over the place, like there's something going on there. If you get home from work and you need to reach for wine, or alternatively, you need to have a nap, you know, your body is giving you signs. So it's about tuning in. It's about being really intuitive. And, you know, getting that awareness and then, yes, putting those performance mindset tools in place to help you get to where you want to be.
And what are the questions people should be asking? So like, if they are going for that glass of wine or that chocolate bar, whatever, you know, you're saying that they, sometimes people don't know what questions to ask without getting, you know, yeah, overly specific. But what, you know, what should they be asking themselves?
Well, I think if let's take the glass of wine example. First, sort of, you could ask yourself, well, why am I drinking this? You know, why, you know, is this a habit? Do I need this? And another really, really good technique is, okay, you say to yourself, right, the wine is here, okay, use my 10-minute rule. I'm going to leave the wine there. I'm going to move away for 10 minutes, okay? If after the 10 minutes, I still really want the wine, I'm really craving it, do you know what? Don't deny yourself. But that will start off a pattern of thought that will start to just disrupt the feedback loop that you've had for years. And well, maybe it's years, I don't know, depending on the person, it may be a recent thing. But it will just start to disrupt those patterns, those paradigms, and help you create the awareness to know that actually you do need to make a shift.
Okay, so stepping away from the decisions, really, it's stepping back and saying, look, give yourself 10 minutes. And it's breaking that kind of loop cycle or thought cycle and saying, actually, maybe I don't want it, or maybe you do want it. And if you do want it, go and enjoy it, but give yourself the 10 minutes with which to make that decision.
Yeah, and also, you know, I suppose if you want to go a bit deeper, you know, you could even look at time frames in terms of, when did I start drinking the wine? You know, was this something that I started during COVID? What was happening during COVID? I had lots of free time. I was at home. Maybe I was extremely stressed out trying to manage family and work at home in an apartment or whatever that looks like, you know. So yeah, you there's various, I suppose, variables, but even asking yourself those basic fundamental questions will start you on that sort of journey to, you know, your path to greatness, essentially where you want to be.
Tell us a bit more about how you got into this line of work and your own lived experience with food. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I was a primary school teacher for 15 years, and my business, like the Whole Food Hero, has really manifested from my lived experience. When I was teaching, I wasn't seriously ill, nothing like that, but I seemed to come down with nagging, persistent sicknesses a lot. So when I was teaching, I really struggled with chest infections, throat infections, kidney infections, and even just things that we sort of accept as normal, but we really shouldn't accept as normal, like low energy. I used to get in from teaching. Every single day I had to have a nap.
Wow.
Every single day. And I used to kid myself, you know, I used to kid myself like, oh, this is normal. I'm working so hard. You know, I just need a little power nap. But in actual fact, I mean, unless you're an elite athlete or you're recovering from some sort of, you know, serious illness, there's not really any reason why you should need to nap. So yeah. So I suppose, you know, that brought me on my own health journey. Around the age of 28, I remember distinctly climbing the highest peak in the Mournes here, Slieve Donard.
Oh yeah, I've been up there. Yeah.
So I can actually see it from this window. But with my now husband, and just as we were coming towards the summit, I kind of struggled on the way up anyway, but I literally couldn't get to the top. He had to grab my hand and pull me to the top. Like, I was 28, and you know, it just wasn't cool. So I thought, okay. We were, you know, planned to get married and have a family. We now have a family of four very young children. And I just knew I had to get healthy. Like, I had to get healthier for myself, obviously, but also to have a healthy pregnancy and to have a healthy family life. So, yeah, I went on a huge journey, I guess, leading to setting up the Whole Food Hero in 2022 and just never looking back.
And of course, those trigger points are important, aren't they, for change? Like, people, you know, they may accept a certain quality of life or a way of life like you have, but when you have that trigger for change, they are really important moments in one's life where it makes you really kind of focus and prioritize your health, your wellness, and not kind of accept the norm that so many people live through now, which is the normalization of needing that nap, of being exhausted in the afternoon, of having poor sleep, low energy, poor food choices. Like, society has normalized that, and we do need that kind of trigger point sometimes to really get us to shift from that and focus on health.
Oh, 100%. You know, some people call it a light bulb moment. For me, that was my punch in the face. It was like, wake up, Edel. You know, you're 28, you're struggling with your energy, you're sick a lot, you know, you're not living to your full potential either. And I suppose it's only now that I would consider myself to be probably an optimal health that I can actually look back and join the dots. So, you know, but I want to say to people listening as well, you know, clearly I wasn't always this healthy. I mean, clearly, you know, but you can be. You absolutely can be. There's no such thing as a silver bullet. It's not going to happen overnight. But with the right guidance and with the right mindset, of course, you will get there. And you know what? You'll be running up sleeve donored by the time you get there.
And why do you think people accept it? That they accept how their energy levels are, that they accept how they feel or how they look or whatever. You know, why do you think it's stress? Is it the busyness of life? You know, what's your thoughts behind it?
Yeah, I think it's a multiple of things. I think if you think about stress, when you are stressed or, you know, highly stressed, it's very, very difficult to concentrate on anything other than the thing that you're stressed about. So let's say, you know, your work is falling to pieces or there's a lot of work stress, for example. You have tunnel vision on the thing that needs to get done. So it's very, very hard to even think about all the other things that are going on. So they sort of get sidelined. And then I suppose, you know, why do people accept those norms? I think people have been a bit disempowered and we're living in a sick care system as opposed to a healthcare system where we're being pushed pills left, right and center. I think, you know, whilst there's a lot of education out there, it's the job of myself and yourself and other health advocates to inform people that there is a better way. You know, there is a better way. It's not a more difficult way, you know, because of course, then there's the argument of time. You know, I don't have enough time. But again, I think people who say that are stressed because let's take Elon Musk, for example. Elon Musk has the same number of hours in the week than any of the rest of us. Look what he's achieved, you know. So I don't want to sound harsh here, but I don't really buy that argument of I don't have enough time. Because if you reprioritize and you flip things around, in fact, you've got all the time in the world. So it's just a bit of reprioritization. But when you're stressed, it's difficult to see that.
And part of the time thing for people is making better choices when it comes to their food choices. So, and chat us through, as the Whole Food Hero, your concept on food choices and what they should be choosing and why, you know, and why mm-hmm. that's your philosophy.
Yeah, well, my ethos, I guess, is largely plant-based. I mean, it doesn't mean no meat, but because I do think protein sources from animals are still quite important, especially if you're working out, you're trying to build muscle and that type of thing. But from a nutritional point of view, I mean, you know, we should be aiming for a variety of 30 different plants per week. Now that includes fruits and vegetables and seeds and, you know, grains and all of it. But yes, my philosophy is whole food, real food, and staying away from the ultra processed junk. I mean, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with ultra processed people, but it's one of my favorite books, Chris Van Tulliken. And you know, he refers to ultra processed food as not food, as edible substance. And for years I've been saying it's junk, you know, it really is junk. Now, that's not to say people can't enjoy a treat. We all like a treat from time to time. But you, if you are over consuming highly, highly processed food, you're on a very, very slippery slope to, you know, weight gain, potential obesity, type 2 diabetes, cancers. I mean, there are 32 known illnesses attached to ultra processed foods now, and the research, you know, is really only kind of emerging, to be fair. So yeah, that's I guess is my philosophy.
And of course, calorie counting is something, and it's not something I do or recommend a lot of the time myself, and you're of a similar wavelength with regards to calorie counting.
Yes. So I mean, calories, you know, what is a calorie? So it's a measurement of the heat exerted in your body when you eat food. You know, calories really are debunked because we are all so different. And I'm a big, big fan girl of Dr. Tim Spector. So he's the professor of epidemiology in King's College in London. And, you know, if you read any of the research that's come out with the Zoe wearable, your listeners might be familiar with that. You know, if you think about calories, we're all physiologically so different. So I may metabolize, you know, calories from an apple very differently to the way you would metabolize them. And also, you know, coming back to that whole food piece and that whole food matrix, every food will have a different matrix. So let's say we have an apple in this hand, we have an apple juice, even an unsweetened apple juice in this hand. You know, you would think, oh, they're very similar foods. Yes, they are in terms of their taste and that, but their matrix is very, very different. So with the apple, I'm getting lots of fiber. I'm getting a bit of vitamin C, a little bit of protein, carbohydrate. What am I getting with the apple juice? I'm getting a huge dose of carbohydrate and sugar, which is going to give me a huge spike and then a very sharp dip. So there's so much more involved than just calories. And that's why, to be honest, I've never really used calories in my work with my clients.
And of course, for anyone listening in, goal setting is really where all of this begins in terms of making those food choices and working on the questions when you're having that 10-minute rule and the choices that you make. The goal setting piece is crucial to all of this.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, you know, in terms of goals, like I think it's important to set a goal that challenges you, but doesn't scare you completely. Because if you think about something that is so far away, so untangible that, you know, you think, oh, I'm never going to get there, just creates a bit of fear and a bit of resistance. Whereas you set yourself something like, maybe, for example, just to use myself as a personal example, I'm doing my first triathlon this year. You know, to me, I'm starting with the amateur and then I'm going to go to sprint, you know, because to me, that's realistic for me. Now, everybody's goals are going to be different, but, you know, in order to be successful, I think as humans intrinsically, we feel like we need to reach a goal. And what is success? It's the realization of a worthy ideal. So in terms of your goals, if you're setting goals, what I always say to people is it worthy? Is it something that you genuinely want to achieve? And when you achieve it, it's going to give you that satisfaction or the aspiration to your, you know, your greater health that you were looking for, then in that case, it's the goal for you, you know, but, you know, challenge, but realistic at the same time.
One of the things we often ask people when they come on is what three key takeaways they would love the listener to get from the episode. And we've covered a lot of ground in the last 20 minutes or so. If I was to ask that question to you, what would your key takeaways for people be?
Okay. I think number one is never underestimate the power of your thoughts. Your thoughts control absolutely everything you do. Number two, try to eat more whole foods. They honestly will optimize everything, your health, your performance and productivity and work and your life in general. And number three, I would say, take the pressure off, you know, be kind to yourself, because we do live in a very time poor, high stress world at the moment. In particular, there's a lot of global stresses, you know, that are affecting people as well. So be kind to yourself and you will get there. You absolutely will. One foot in front of the other, one micro habit day after day.
And for anyone listening in who's thinking, this was a really interesting interview, but actually, you know what? It's too hard. I'm too busy. It's too big a stretch. It is, you know, I'll start in a month or I'll do it in 6 months or whatever. Talk to that person because you have their ear now. So like to someone who's thinking those kind of things, what do you say to them?
Well, the first thing I would say is why put it off for a month when you can do it today? And when I say micro steps, I mean break it down to the smallest level you possibly can so that there's no overwhelm whatsoever. Of course, that's a very, very personal thing. It's going to look different for different people. But let's take the example of water. Your energy is low because you're dehydrated because you're not drinking enough water. What could you do tomorrow morning that would get you started on this path to health? What you could do is get an egg cup. a small glass of water. And I love the work of BJ Foggs. He's a behavioral expert in Stanford University, and he talks about tiny habits. Just start with that little habit. Every single day, leave your little egg cup or your little small glass sitting on your windowsill. Don't even move it, okay? Make it so super easy that it's, you know, it's idiot proof. And take that water every single morning, wire in that habit. And when you're fully sure and confident that you're ready to move on to something else, then move on to something else. And, you know, what you'll find is the more of those little tiny habits that you can start wiring in and anchoring in and maybe just replacing other behaviors, you know, less healthy behaviors with that behavior, it will gain momentum. And over the weeks and over the months, you know, it will add up and you'll get there. Yeah.
Fantastic advice, Edele. Fair play. If people want to find you online, or I know you have a webinar that they can follow, where can they find you?
Yes, so I hang out on LinkedIn mostly. I do have an Instagram page, so you can link in with me there as well. Yes, so I have a webinar actually coming up for busy professionals, business owners. I'm involved with the Awaken Hub group. Maybe some of your listeners are familiar. So female founders and entrepreneurs, this is for you if you're listening. It is on the 4th of April at 7:15. And the key focus really is going to be helping people with their mindset and their energy for nutrition and for life, and you know, so that they can grow successful businesses and lead optimal lives.
Edele, it's been fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We really, really appreciate it, and great content for all our listeners too. So fair play. Thanks a million. Folks, I really hope you enjoyed today's episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry. Brilliant advice, great content to put into action over the course of the week. As ever, you know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, Real Health on the Irish Independent website. As ever, have a great week. We'll see you next week. So long, go home.